Have you ever had someone pay you a compliment, but later you wondered if it was really a compliment or not? Maybe it was a criticism in disguise. Now, sometimes this is just comes from a poor choice of words from the person giving the compliment. Warren Wiersbe's compiled a list of compliments he received over the years that were meant to be positive, but you know, when you really think about it, one person came up to him after a church service and said, "Brother Wiersbe, every sermon you preach is better than the next." Now think about that. What did they really say? You're getting worse every time. I'm sure that's not what they meant, but that's how it came out. On another occasion, a lady approached him and said, "My husband is in a mental institution, and you're the only preacher he can understand." Still another said, "Your preaching is like throwing water to a drowning person." I don't think that's really what they meant. Now, maybe we haven't had those experiences, but how about if somebody were to describe you as being kind? Does that seem like a backhanded compliment? Especially men. If you were called kind, would that seem like a slap in the face? I mean, it seems a bit weak or wimpy, doesn't it? It's like being called nice. Eh. Is it really a criticism or is it a compliment? Now, this hasn't always been the case. This past week, as I was preparing for this message, I found a number of quotations extolling the virtue of kindness, but for the most part, they were written many years ago. Mark Twain wrote, "Kindness is the language which the deaf can hear and the blind can see." William Wordsworth penned, "The best portion of a good man's life is his little, nameless, unremembered acts of kindness and love." Thomas Chalmers wrote, "Write your name in kindness, love, and mercy on the hearts of those who come in contact with you, and you will never be forgotten." Even going back to the Jewish Talmud, which was written soon after the time of Christ, we read, "Kindness is the greatest wisdom." Now, we were studying Paul's depiction of love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we come to the phrase, "Love is kind." Now, in our English translations, this word appears as an adjective. It's a word describing love, but in the original Greek, it's a verb. It's an active word. In fact, these verbs that Paul uses in depicting love, they're all in the present continuous tense. This isn't something we just do in the past and now we're done. It's something that continues on in our lives. It denotes actions and attitudes that have become habits. And how do we build habits? By constant repetition. They eventually become ingrained into our lives. Now, they sound ordinary. They may sound obvious. They might even sound trite, but they're probably the most difficult habits to cultivate. And kindness is right at the top of the list when it comes to love. As J. Vernon McGee notes, love is impossible without kindness. You just can't have it. And this morning, I'd like to consider three facets of kindness and how we can make kindness a regular part of our lives, a regular part of the love that God commands us to show. The first is that kindness is upbeat. Now, last Sunday, we looked at the statement, love is patient. And while patience is a positive word itself, you usually demonstrate patience in a negative situation. Patience is putting up with things, right? Patience is not losing your cool when you're provoked. So you need that patience in light of negative circumstances. But kindness is something very positive. It's something very upbeat. And it's not merely passive. You can be patient by doing nothing, right? You can sometimes show patience by what you don't do in response to somebody. But kindness is something that is active. It is something in which we are engaged in doing good to others. It's the picture of someone who spontaneously seeks the good for others and shows it by what they do. You'll notice that kindness is very others-centered, and that's true with all of the statements of love that you see there in 1 Corinthians 13. Kindness thinks of the other person, the problems in their life, and it tries to say the right word or do the right thing that'll make their life a little bit better for them. Think about how that's happened to you. Has somebody done that for you? Maybe you're having a terrible day. Maybe you're just having an ordinary day. But somebody says just the right thing. Or they do this little simple act of kindness. Brightens your whole day, doesn't it? It's just like a gloomy, rainy day, and all of a sudden the sun comes out. Isn't that what kindness does in our lives? Now, it's very easy in our hurried lifestyles to forget to be kind. But I think the greatest example of kindness you find is in Jesus Himself. Now, that's a word that we may not associate often with Jesus. I mean, we think of Jesus, we think of His power. We think of His passion, we think of His knowledge, His teaching, but kindness? Think about, though, how many times Jesus performed just very simple acts, but it meant a lot to the person involved. How about the wedding that He went to? And at the reception, they ran out of wine. Now, back then, that's a big deal. A host could be sued for running out of wine at a wedding reception back then. Now, it would have been very easy for Jesus to say, "Oh boy, that's too bad. They should have got more." But He didn't. He did a simple act. Now, it's not simple to us, but a very simple act of taking water, turning it into wine, not just any wine, the best wine, and it saved that host from a whole lot of embarrassment. That was an act of kindness. How about taking the time to bless little children as they were brought to Him? Now, Jesus was a very busy man. I mean, He had places to go and people to see and, you know, a lot of things happening in His life. But when these parents bring these little children, now what are those little children ever going to do for Jesus? And yet, He took the time. He blessed them. And even if the children didn't know exactly what that entailed, the parents did. It was a simple act of kindness. How about as He's going through town and there's crowds all over the place and all of a sudden He stops and He looks up in a tree. And there's this short little guy sitting in a tree. Zacchaeus. Now Zacchaeus had never met Jesus until this point. And maybe Jesus wouldn't have known a whole lot about Zacchaeus, but everybody else did. They didn't like him. He was that dirty, rotten, scoundrel tax collector that ripped us off. And here he's up a tree. It's where he belongs. Hope he stays there. Maybe he'll fall out of it. Right? That's the attitude probably most people had about Zacchaeus. Jesus said, "Hey, Zacchaeus, come on down. I want to go to your house." Nobody wanted to go to Zacchaeus' house. Nobody wanted to have anything to do with him. But that little simple act changed his life. You see many instances where Jesus would use His power to feed multitudes, to heal the sick, even raise the dead. You say, "Well, that's great. He's Jesus. I can't do that." That's true. But what can you do within your power, within your abilities, to make someone's day just a little bit brighter than before? That's how we show kindness. I like the way J.B. Phillips renders this phrase there in 1 Corinthians 13. He says, "Love looks for a way of being constructive." That's kindness. Looking for a way of being constructive. You know, Jesus even described Himself this way, though you may not know it when you first read the verse. Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. Very familiar words probably to many of you. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Say, wait a minute, I listened really close. I never heard the word kind or kindness in that passage. And that's true. It's at a place you wouldn't expect. So that word translated easy. When Jesus said, "My yoke is easy," that is the same Greek root from which we get kindness. It's something that is easy, something that is pleasurable or pleasant. It's not really a theological term, but it's Jesus' kind of love. It's a kind of love that makes life a little easier, makes life a little better for someone else. And that image that he uses of a yoke, now again, that's something that we don't use so much in our day and age anymore, so we may not catch the significance. But back then, farmers in ancient Israel would train an inexperienced ox by yoking it to a more experienced one with a wooden harness. Now, the straps around the more experienced ox were tightened real tight, whereas the straps around the inexperienced one were loose, where he had a little bit more room to move. And as he walked alongside the more mature ox, he learned what it meant to work together, but his burden was light. The more experienced ox was doing all the work. That's what Jesus is saying. He says, "You come to me, and you'll learn from me, but I'm going to do all the work for you. I'm going to do the hard part. You come along." And that's what kindness is all about. Kindness is doing those things that makes life a little bit easier. Jesus carries our burden. Sometimes we can do that in small ways. Just carrying someone's burden, that little bit of kindness can go a long way. Now, a second attribute of kindness is that it's useful. The Greek word Paul uses in this verse, you don't find anywhere else in Scripture. In fact, some think maybe Paul coined this word himself. But the root of it you find elsewhere, and it's translated in a number of ways. I mentioned there in Matthew where it's translated as easy. It's also translated as better. It's translated as good, as well as kind or kindness. But the idea here is that it's something that is useful. It is active. It not only feels generous, but it is generous. Not only does it desire the welfare of someone, but it works toward that. And when Jesus tells us to love one another, he doesn't tell us just to feel kindly to them, but we are to act kindly toward them. But this kind of love that expresses kindness, it is something useful. It is something that benefits them, not just us. This is sometimes reflected in our gift giving. Have you ever received a gift that you think will probably benefit the giver more than you? Right? Guys, don't give your wife things that she can use in the kitchen for a birthday. Not a good idea. Because even if you don't mean it, it's going to give the impression of you really need to use these things. Now, that can be useful, but it may be a little bit more self-oriented. But the thing about kindness is it is something that is truly beneficial to that person. It's really going to help them. It doesn't just make us feel better. It's something that is practical. And I think the first test of Christian kindness is in the home. The Christian husband who acts like a Christian is kind to his wife and children. The same is true for the Christian wife. Brothers and sisters are kind to each other and to their parents. And there's more than just kind feelings. They do kind, helpful things for each other, even to the point of self-sacrifice if that's necessary. And I'm going to go out on a limb here. I think that being kind, at least the way the Bible uses the word, means more than buying flowers or candy or a nice card. Now, I'm not saying those are bad things, and there is a time and a place. But there's more to it, to kindness. True kindness looks for something useful to do for that other person. I can remember when I was growing up, my dad wasn't home very much. He was a long-distance truck driver. He would be gone days at a time, sometimes a whole week at a time. But every now and then, he would be home, maybe home for a few days. And one of the things I remember is that he would get the vacuum out when my mom was at work. And I just have this image of him vacuuming the stairs in our house. Now, to my knowledge, my mom never asked him to do it. And I think he did it because manhandling that vacuum on the stairs, that's not easy to do. It was something that he could do that was very helpful, something beneficial, something he didn't have to do, but it just made life a little bit easier for my mom. Now, I never did ask her this, but I would just imagine, especially knowing my mother, that she probably appreciated that more than if she had come home from work and there had been a dozen roses or a card. Now, those are nice. There's nothing wrong with that. But that act of kindness was more useful. It was more beneficial. It was more practical. It's one thing to be nice. It's another to be kind. Because when we are kind, we do something useful for that other person. And then finally, kindness, like love itself, is undeserved. In the original language, the word for kindness carries an idea that the English word doesn't. Chiefly, it refers to an act of grace. Now, when the Bible speaks of grace, it's talking about something done that is undeserved. And it's something that God does. God acts toward us in grace. It is by grace we are saved. It's not something we deserve. It's not something we earn. It's something out of God's love He has done for us. There are three times in the New Testament where kindness is a quality of God's attitude and actions towards sinners. And though the word doesn't appear in this verse, the concept of kindness is seen in Romans 5:8. God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since love is kind, you can substitute the word kindness. See how this reads. But God demonstrates His own kindness for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See, there wasn't anything deserving about us. But God did something very practical. God did something that would meet the need. He did something very useful. He sent Jesus to die. He didn't just look down from heaven and say, "Wow, I really feel bad for you. You're stuck in sin. You're condemned to eternity in hell. That's really too bad. I feel bad for you." No, He did something about it. And He did something in spite of who we are, not because of who we are. Now, as Christians, we are called to model that kind of love. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, we read, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children." Have you ever noticed how children will imitate their parents, particularly their dad? Little boy loves to imitate his dad, right? If his dad likes to work on cars, he'll be out there and, you know, he wants a hammer, he wants some kind of tool, you know. Whatever it is, they love to imitate their parents. And Paul says that we are to imitate God as His children, and he tells us how to do it. Live a life of love. Just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as an offering and sacrifice to God. So how do we imitate God? By loving as God loves. Love means doing what is right toward another person, whether we feel like it or not, and whether they deserve it or not. That's true love. It's not dependent upon how we feel. It's not dependent upon how much they deserve it. In fact, love is shown greatest when it's undeserved. And specifically, we are to show kindness to others, whether we feel like it or not, whether we like them or not, or whether they deserve it or not. Simple acts of goodness can go a long way. John Wesley had this rule for his life. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you can. That's kindness. Kindness is upbeat. It's positive. Kindness is useful and practical. And kindness is undeserved. Kindness is how God acts toward us, and it's how we are to act toward others. And so as we close, I ask you this question: how kind are we? What is our kindness quotient, if there was such a thing? When was the last time we did something for someone in our family? Maybe it was cleaning off the table, washing dishes, making the coffee, without being asked. Think about school or the workplace. What person is the most overlooked or avoided? The one that's shy, maybe the one that's always grumpy. Maybe it's someone who doesn't quite fit in. Are we kind to that person? Now, one thing about kindness, kind hearts are quietly kind. They might let that car cut into traffic, or the young mom with three kids move up in the checkout line. They might pick up their neighbor's trash can that rolled into the street, but they don't make a big scene about it. They don't have to announce it. Kindness you'll also find at church. Kindness will understand that perhaps the neediest person they'll meet all week is the one they meet at the back of the church, or the one sitting in the row before them or behind them. Paul says, when we have the opportunity to help someone, we should do it, especially to those who are in the family of believers. But here's a real challenge. What about to our enemies? How kind are we to those who want what we want or take what we have? God tells us, love your enemies as well. In Romans it says, don't repay evil for evil, but repay evil with good. When they are mean to you, be kind to them. And oftentimes you may, emphasize may, you may win a person over. There have been many times where someone who is mean to another person and that person responds in kindness, they don't know how to handle it. And sometimes they will respond to that person and actually change the way they act toward them. If someone were to describe you, would they use the word kind or kindness? If so, that's not a backhanded compliment. It means you're really becoming like Christ. And what greater compliment could anybody give than that? Our invitation hymn this morning, one we usually use in a different context, is hymn number 444. Bringing in the sheaves. We usually think about this with evangelism. Do you notice the first verse? Sowing in the morning, sowing seeds of what? Kindness. And oftentimes when we talk about our testimony to others, if we want to reach out to somebody that doesn't know the Lord, sow seeds of kindness. Don't just leave them a tract somewhere that they're going to pick up and read. Show them love. Say, I don't know how to show love to somebody like that. Do something kind. Do something positive. Do something practical. Do something upbeat and useful and undeserved. That'll go a long way in our witness. In sharing Christ with others, they need to see Christ before they need to hear Him. And we can show them Christ by showing them kindness, by showing them love. In this first verse, we're just going to sing the first verse. May this be our challenge to us. Lord, how can I show of kindness this week? To people who live in my house, to people in my neighborhood, people at my workplace, people in my church, people that, quite honestly, I can't stand. But you call me to love them. How can I do this? How can I be a blessing to others in very positive and practical ways? We're just going to sing the first verse.